All right, what's up, everybody? Hey, it's Tuesday, and man, we got a monster show. My ADD brain is going to be all over the place today because there's so many stories I want to talk about. So I'm going to hopefully get to everything. We'll see what happens. Plus, San Diego State assistant coach David Velasquez is going to be here. So we're going to talk some Aztec basketball as they get ready to head towards the NCAA tournament on Friday. All right, to get started, let me thank all of our great partners. I'll make it as quickly as I can. You ready? Here goes. I'm going to be really quick. I know you're laughing at me, but I'm going to try. 7 Mile Casino. The website is 7milecasino.com. You can use your phone and use the QR code. Blackjack, poker, table games. Great food at Sammy's Restaurant and Bar. A good stiff drink. No smoking. Amazing parking. And 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego. Is there anything else I need to say? I don't think so. 7 Mile Casino. 7milecasino.com. These guys right here, Mushroom Life. Back on the show. A lot of you guys asked, what happened to Mushroom Life? They're back. If you use the QR code and you scan it and you buy some of their brand new Life Brew coffee, this is mushroom coffee. It's not going to get you high or get you wasted or have you tripping out. It's anti-inflammatory. It's focus. It's all kinds of health benefits in their coffee product, Mushroom Life, and their new product, Life Brew, L-Y-F-E, lifebrew.com. Use our code KLIFE20. You'll save 20%. And Brett says he's throwing in other little goodies for you. Okay. Let me talk to everybody about our friends over at BetUS. Here's the thing on BetUS. I have this bracket right in front of me. I got this in the mail. This is their $1 million opportunity here. And it's got all kinds of odds and everything else on the back. But this is all because I have a BetUS account. I've had a BetUS account. It's completely filled up and ready to go, all because of the money I won during the football season. And I'm going all in here on college basketball. They've got a 125% sign-up bonus for your first three deposits, a 10% gambler's insurance policy, which is completely epic. Nobody does that. They take cryptocurrency, and there's a 200% crypto sign-up bonus. So now's your chance to get in. BetUS, where the game begins. Call 1-800-MY-BETUS to set up an account, or betus.com. Our friends at Torrey Holistics and California Holistics. And by the way, now Oxnard Holistics. If you use our code BETTERBUD, you're saving 20%. So if you use cannabis to sleep, anxiety, pain, recreation, however you use cannabis, there's lots of places to buy it. But we're in business with Torrey Holistics and California Holistics, and you save 20% when you use our code BETTERBUD. Okay, the Padres and Dodgers are going to get ready to start tonight, middle of the night. I was looking on Prize Picks. They've got a play today on Taco Tuesday on Ohtani, and it's pretty simple. It's like half of a base. So that's kind of all it is. I got to go to it here real quick. Man, did I miss out on this? God, I hope
not.
Yeah,
it expired this morning.
Dude, what was it? It was Ohtani
half
for like
a base.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I thought I had plenty of time. Anyway, listen, now's your chance to start playing baseball on Prize Picks, okay? So there's Ohtani still in his Angels uniform.
They do have specials tonight, though.
Okay, like what?
Combos with Luka, Tatis with a Kyrie, Mookie with Mikal Bridges.
I would go Ohtani and Luka.
Total bases and 3 points.
Okay, that's an easy one. Total bases and 3-pointers made for Luka and Ohtani, 5.5, taking it, no problem. I may put it together with Caitlin Clark, who I still haven't played yet, for only half a point on women's college basketball. And that's going to happen on Saturday. So here she is. All right, I'm taking it right now. There you go. Just did it. Okay. Prize Picks. Use our code GREATFRIENDS, and you get that 100% match up to $100. So make sure you're using that code. Who have I missed here? Oh, Blenders. How could I forget Blenders? Dude. Blenders had this 50% off sale. I talked to Chase Fisher yesterday. He's like, dude, it was out of control. Yeah, it was out of control. People were coming into Blender stores and they were buying 5-6 pairs of Blenders. I have so many text messages from people saying, dude, I bought 5 pairs. Now, if you miss that sale, you can still save 20% by using our code Kaplan. So blenderseyewear.com, or go into the store in PB, go to the store in Encinitas, use our code, save that 20%. And enjoy those brand new Blender sunglasses. And one last one here, just to mention, I got to give some love to my guy, Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299. people are like moving out of California. They're selling their houses. They're cashing out. They're moving to places where it's so much cheaper. Talk to Gary. He can help you with everything related to real estate transactions. 858-376-1299. Let's start the show. What's up, great friends? Hey, it is Tuesday afternoon. This is Kaplan and crew, Got Grande and the Brown Man. And as always, we come to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. You're looking for a great place to go play cards, blackjack, poker, other table games. You know that my daughter is home from school from Boise State for spring break. And her friends, they all stopped in Vegas on the way down. They were driving down from Boise and they stopped in Vegas overnight. And one of the kids told me the story that he had $400 and he sat at a blackjack table till 6 o'clock in the morning. And he was down to his last 25 bucks and he turned it all around and won $4,300. And this is like a young kid. And like for a young kid, I mean, that is like, I mean, that's major, major bucks. And I said to him, I go, bro, take it down to 7 Mile Casino. And let's see if you can't win a little bit more. Cause he started bragging to me, you know, I've never lost in a casino. I said, you just keep saying that, see how that ultimately goes. 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com, blackjack, poker, other table games, amazing food, no smoking, 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego. You're going to love it. 7 Mile Casino and 7milecasino.com. By the way, any problems with gambling, you call 1-800-GAMBLER. You hear what I'm saying to you, young fella? Okay. Grande, Brown Man, lots to get to today. And going to try and get to so much in a compact period of time. But can we start off with this? It was all over social media last night. It was probably all over the local news if you watch local news. What was flying through the air of San Diego last night? People were like pulling off the roads going, look, see, really, UFOs, other life forms. Did you guys see what was going on in the skies last night?
Yeah. No. Not in person, but on social.
No, I didn't see anything. What are you guys talking about?
Brown, you got no exposure, huh?
I'm a little preoccupied. Sorry.
Yeah, with what?
Children.
Oh, children's. Okay. Hey, by the way, use those children for as long as you can, because mine is getting ready. My last one is getting ready to graduate from high school, and I'm kind of going to lose my excuse. You know, I mean, I used my kids as an excuse for everything for years. So keep on using them, man. Yeah. I mean, they're going to preoccupy
you
for
sure.
I got a long run. You sure do. All right. So this is what happened last night. Look at this.
Shout out to my boy Samson for filming this. This is out in probably the Lemon Grove area for like during Little League practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. People saw this. What? Whose dog is that?
You know whose dog it is.
Your neighbor's dog. God damn it. That's a loud ass dog. Man, I hate when my neighbor's dog is barking like that, man. And I can hear it all, you know?
I've seen enough weird stuff in the sky. This wouldn't have freaked me out.
No, wouldn't it freak you out?
No. I've seen way weirder stuff than this. This appears to be
also like has it.
I mean, at least this has some type of exhaust. It has a trail to it. Like I've seen stuff in the sky moving in ways that it shouldn't be moving.
I don't want to come off like a jerk, but haven't we seen this exact rocket a billion times by now? Like, well, do you not realize when it does this right here that it's Elon Musk sending Teslas to the moon?
Well, is that what it was? I mean, is that what the deal is?
The truck to the moon.
This is SpaceX has the most recognizable like shape, and they do liftoffs from California or wherever, like all the time. This is probably like the 30th time I've seen this thing. And it's so funny. It's like, are you guys just that much off the internet? Or am I just too much on the internet?
No. But hold on. But the thing is this, like you said, you only saw this on social media. You didn't see this in the sky. When you see this, because like the video
I have seen it in the sky previously, is my point.
The video that we're watching right now is so interesting because you could still see like the movement of the fumes or whatever smoke coming out of the back. The first time I ever saw that in the sky, like in real life, I'm driving down the road. This is down in South San Diego. I was driving down to Chula Vista and I see this thing up in the sky and it's the first time I've ever seen it. I have no idea what it is. I'm not joking with you. I pulled off to the side of the road to go, what am I looking at? And for some reason, I thought I was like the only person on the planet that was actually seeing it. Yes, you're right, Alex. They shoot off these, I guess, rockets and satellites more frequently now than ever before. But there doesn't seem to be any like warning. Maybe there is, and I'm just not exposed to it.
If you follow them.
Yeah, which I guess I don't. Mm-hmm. But like for me, I'm like, if they would tell me or if somehow they would reach me, I'd like to go outside and go, yo, let me check this out.
Yo, can we tell Scott Kaplan in Cardiff, please?
And other people.
When something's being launched north of Santa Barbara.
Well, let me ask you this. Where were those launched? Do you have any idea? Because I actually do not.
The Vandenberg Space Force Base.
Oh, okay. Got it. I know that place. Mm-hmm. And this is SpaceX. It is.
And they live stream it. They live stream the rocket launch. They tell you if it's going to be a go. And it happens pretty often because they land these things. That's the whole point of SpaceX and their rockets. They're not really sending anything. They're launching them into orbit. And the whole point is to reuse these rockets. So they land them again.
So I was, I'm just on Twitter right now and I'm on SpaceX. It says Falcon 9 launches Starlink satellites to orbit from California. And it shows pictures of like the rocket lifting off. Now Starlink, have you guys ever tried or used Starlink? Do you guys know about this?
I have been on a plane where it was available.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So down in Laredo, Mexico, Alex, you've been down to where Rachel has her condo. Mm-hmm. We bought a Starlink setup and we took the satellite up to the roof of the building and we connected it all. And then we connected it to our phones. There's an app and it tells you, like, it looks up into the sky and it shows you the sky and all the stars. Well, I guess they're not really stars. They're satellites where they are. And then through your phone app, the satellite starts to move as it's finding the satellite to connect with. And this internet was very, very good. I mean, I was surprised that it was going to be that solid. But this is what he's doing, Elon Musk.
Kaplan and Crew show brought to you by from the 7 Mile Casino Studios in Laredo, Mexico.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be fun?
Sounds like it'd be nice for you.
Well, how about for you?
That'd be great for me.
Okay. I say we should go do it.
Let's do it.
I think we need a retreat, a Kaplan and Crew retreat, but Browner can't go. Browner can't go.
Won't go.
He's preoccupied with four kids.
No, thank you. No, thank
you. I would gladly go. I had a great time in Laredo.
Yeah. Browner ain't going.
Enjoy yourselves. No.
although I don't want to go in July again. It was very hot.
Yeah. No, it's actually better for us that Browner stays here. He can run the operation from San Diego. And then you and I can go to Laredo and we can do our
I'll do it from the beach.
Yeah.
I'll do it from a kayak.
I can't work that day.
Come on, Iron Man.
What do you got? You got jury duty that day or something, dog?
No. You guys are gonna go on vacation and do the show. I got a doctor.
No, see that doesn't. But the sentence you just said doesn't add up, man. We can't go on vacation and do the show. We're still working. We just happen to be from a remote location.
Right. That's so all.
I hear y'all 100%. I can't work that day.
Okay, got it. All right. Let me start off by asking a couple of quick questions here. The Padres and the Dodgers tonight in the middle of the night. Am I correct on this?
Okay. No.
Okay. Cause today's Tuesday and I must explain that I'm kind of confused. Like, is it, I wake up at 3 a.m., but it's Wednesday morning and I turn on the TV and there's the Padres Dodgers, or do I have to wait until Wednesday night, go to sleep, wake up Thursday morning, 3 a.m.? I'm confused by the time difference of the game.
I don't understand what's confusing about it.
So here's my question. Is the game being played on ESPN at 3 a.m. Pacific time Wednesday morning?
Correct.
Okay. So then in that case, I'm going to go to sleep tonight. Yes. I'm going to set my alarm for 2:57 a.m. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to turn on the game. I'm going to watch the first, inning or so, maybe two. And then I'm going to doze off and go right back to sleep.
Here's what I think I'm going to come up with and do instead.
Okay.
I came up with a solution for me. Instead of me going to wake up at 6 a.m. like I normally do, I'll take the hit and I'll get up at 5 a.m. tomorrow and catch the end of the game live.
What happened to 3?
I changed my mind. That's a little ridiculously early. It's a little early for me. It's a little Thank early.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Although Browner's solution for the purposes of this show also works.
That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
Put it on DVR. Wake up and watch it.
You know what? Why you say that? Let me go ahead.
And set your DVR.
Set the alarm.
DVR,
huh?
Set the DVR real quick.
Set the DVR, man.
Because when I don't wake up.
This is why we have the technology that we have to use it to our advantage, okay? Man. This is how you create bandwidth. You use the technology. DVR, sucker. Sleep.
Oh, by the way, since the game had already had happened by the time we hit the air tomorrow, can we just tell everybody happy opening day?
No. No, I don't think so. No? I don't think so. I think opening day happens in America.
No, it doesn't. Not according to Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but when you come back and you still have exhibition games to play, is it truly opening day? Or because, I mean, are they going to have like all the red, white, and blue bunting all around? Is there going to be a big holiday and celebration?
I've seen photos of, they still do the national anthem. They put the American flag on the video boards.
Okay.
So,
again, I just asked the question. I got to repeat this to the person in charge of baseball who thinks the trophy's a hunk of metal anyway. Why does this matter? Why couldn't you just tab these exhibition games and just have some fun with it? Why make these regular season games?
I agree.
What's the benefit of it?
I agree. I've seen no reason why these games should count. I mean,
why?
Take these two teams. Well, probably because if they weren't real games, you probably couldn't force the players to go. You know, be like, hey, yeah. Send a split squad.
Right, right.
Well, that's
go
true.
Do your spring training over there.
Yeah.
I mean,
here's the deal. I go ahead.
If I'm the Dodgers, I just spent a lot of money. I need all my home games in my home stadium, period. Who going to run me this money? Am I going to get the money from the site we go to here? If I'm the Padres, I'm cash strapped. I lost two home games.
No, one.
It's one and one. I lost a home game. We both lost a home game. MLB, run us the average amount of money we going to make on that day for a particular home game, and we cool. But if y'all don't, y'all got to do some explaining.
I will bet you that the Dodgers and the Padres are compensated very well for going and doing what they're doing. I would think organizationally they are. So let's just go through it really quickly then, because the game for everybody right now who's listening on radio and watching on YouTube, at least during the live portion, okay, this is going to happen at 3:00 in the morning. A friend of mine yesterday said, he goes, no, man, I'm going to wake up at 6:00 in the morning. I'm going to watch the game. I go, bro, I don't think you realize it. It's 6 a.m. Eastern time, dude. Oh, my B. So, So let's just go through a couple of these notes here. Let's start off with the Padres and the Dodgers and what's coming up in the middle of the night. And for those of you that can wake up and do this, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to set my alarm 2:57 a.m. I'm going to turn on ESPN and I'm going to watch the very, very first couple of.
Will you be awake enough to take a picture of your television and tweet it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Challenge. Okay. Will you accept my challenge?
Yes. Go ahead. What's your challenge?
Tweet the picture at 3 a.m. first pitch. Tweet a picture of first pitch. And if you go back to bed for second pitch, I don't care. Okay. Tweet a pic. Post a picture of the first pitch of the baseball game.
I'm setting my alarm right now. 2:58 a.m. Here it is. There it is.
You'll be dead asleep by 3:05 when the first pitch actually happens.
And if I can't get back to sleep, I have a technique, you know.
I guess it does kind of suck in a way because where we are, if we were in the East Coast, I don't think we'd be having this conversation. But the fact that it is at 3 a.m. and by the way, 3 a.m. for both teams for their home base. I think it does diminish the excitement of a normal Padres-Dodgers series, especially the first Padres-Dodgers series with Shohei Ohtani and the new talent the Dodgers have brought in. Like, it really does diminish the excitement because it is such a random-ass time of the day. You know, Thursday the 28th, when the Giants come to town and possibly Blake Snell's pitching for them, like, that's going to be super exciting because it's the real opening day.
Right,
and we're all going to be around gas lamp.
Yep.
We're all going to get some drinks and we're all going to have a good time. It's probably going to be beautiful weather. So it does diminish the excitement for the opening day, even though it technically is opening day.
Yeah. And I got a text yesterday from Fat Tony and he said, hey, are we going to have a viewing party for the Padres and the Dodgers? And I said, yeah, we are going to have a viewing party. It's in my bed. I go, you're welcome, buddy. And he wrote back to me. He goes, no, dog, you sleep naked. I'm not coming into your bed to watch this game.
But knowing Tony, if you didn't sleep naked, he probably would show up.
Are there people that are having viewing parties at 3:00 in the morning? Are you that excited about the first two games in Korea that you're going to go to a bar at 3 a.m. and you're going to drink from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.? And are there, like, because I've
you can't drink at 3 a.m.
Okay, I was just about to ask Mr. Soccer that question, who's been up at 5 a.m. to first, watch a soccer
first
game.
First drinks can be served at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. No, I'm out.
First, I'm out. The earliest I have ever gone to a bar, the earliest I've ever gone to a bar for a European soccer game was 4:30 in the morning, and I never did it again because I didn't know the 6 a.m. rule. So I had to sit there and drink coffee. Yeah. At 4:30 in the morning, and I was like, well, this just kind of takes away the fun of it all, doesn't it? Like, I thought we were going to come and just be like total get savages blasted and drink beer at 4:30 in the morning. They didn't, but as soon as 6 hit, that waitress was busy, bro. She was just like, everybody was like, yo, let's go, 6 a.m.
Dude, I'm so pissed because when I woke up this morning, I got an email from Prize Picks, and they told me, you know, hey, it's Taco Tuesday, come make some plays. Mm-hmm. So I go on to Prize Picks, right? And I see that there's a Shohei Ohtani play where it's half of a base, meaning he needs to get on base half of a time. So all he has to do is get one hit, get a walk. Ohtani gets on base. It's an easy win. By the time we start today, I go open Prize Picks and that play is already gone. I thought I had like hours to play it. I didn't. So now what I've done today, Browner, is I finally put something together with Caitlin Clark. I've taken Ohtani and Luka Doncic tonight for 5.5 total bases and 3 points made together combined. So I figure Ohtani will have a hit or two, and I figure Luka can have 5 3-pointers on his own. And then I put it together with Caitlin Clark and her half of a point this upcoming Saturday in the women's NCAA basketball.
How much you dropping there, big dog?
I dropped 20 bones on it.
Nice.
$20.
$60 payout? $60 payout?
$20 unit. That's right.
Nice.
That's right. That's right. I'm looking around too. I'm looking around. I may play some Padres too. I'm not sure. Hey, let me say this really quick because you already mentioned Blake Snell. As of yesterday, when we were on the air, Blake Snell was still sitting at home doing nothing with himself. Mm-hmm. And by late afternoon yesterday, a conversation we've been having in the entire spring training, what is Blake Snell going to do? It all played itself out exactly as I think many of us thought it would. Short-term contract for a number that's good for Blake Snell, but it's short enough terms that it's probably good enough for a team as well. And I was on a podcast yesterday with a website called Dodger Blue, and they're talking Dodgers. I was talking Padres, et cetera. And I said to those guys, you guys think the Dodgers should go out and sign Blake Snell? And they were like, oh, it's an internal debate we're all having. And then before you knew it, later in the afternoon, the Giants went and signed him. So Bob Melvin reunites with Blake Snell, 2 years, $62 million. He can opt out after the first year. So essentially, it's a one-year, $31 million contract for Blake Snell. And if he doesn't want to opt out, hey, $62 million over 2 years, nobody was going to give him a five-year deal. Worth. I think actually the Yankees did offer him 5 years.
I'm not buying that anymore.
I'm not buying that either, by the way.
And here's why I don't buy that anymore. Scott Boras is still his agent.
Yep.
And if you cost a man a guaranteed $90 million,
you out.
There's no way you're still his agent. Mm-hmm. I don't buy that report whatsoever. And I also think this is a smart move, though, for Snell. He's 31. You know, nowadays in baseball, pitchers get paid up until they're 42. So
I mean, all you got to do is look at Max Scherzer and look at Justin Verlander and see the kind of money Darvish. Those guys are making this late. Yeah, you Darvish too. Mm-hmm. See the kind of money these guys are making this late in their career. If you're Blake Snell and you think, hey, I'm going to stay healthy and I'm going to keep pitching until I'm 40 years old, take that $31 million this year and then next year go try and find somebody else that wants to give you a long-term contract.
Mm-hmm. If Blake Snell puts back-to-back solid Cy Young type years, you opt out, he'll get a bigger deal next year.
But $31 million is not – the Padres weren't going to pay that. The Padres don't pay Yu Darvish anything close to that. They don't pay Joe Musgrove that. So,
$31 million is a lot to you know, that's not like, oh, he got jobbed. That's a lot of money. But he was looking for $31 million for 4 years or 5 years. That's why I do not believe that thing about the Yankees was ever true. $31 million, because let's say – he does what he did here the last 2 years. That's not worth $31 million. The last year it was. He's not going to repeat that. I love Blake Snell. He's my guy.
But it wasn't going to happen. The Padres are never going to pay him $31 million. But it is interesting that the Padres and Giants will start the season in Petco Park, and Bob Melvin returns and Blake Snell returns. And that
the guy from Japan or Korea, I kind of already forgot his name, who the Padres wanted to play center field for them, is also on the Giants. He took their money.
Hey, listen, Giants, you got to give them credit. That's a big move. Just the same way the Padres made a move with Dylan Cease here at the end of spring training. You got to give it up to the Giants. I mean, getting Blake Snell this late into spring training is a great move. I don't know if he's I don't have any idea if a guy could not pitch at all during spring training and come right in and start right away. But I have to assume that he knows his routine.
Oh, dude, he'll be in Arizona. He'll be in Arizona today, and he'll have, you know, because opening day is not that for them tomorrow. So he's got time to go to spring training and throw a game or two.
That's gonna be difficult. That's gonna be difficult, man. It really is. I think he's gonna have a rough season, and at some point he's gonna get hurt.
Maybe we'll see. I mean, but it is interesting that we've been talking about Blake Snell the entire spring training, and it finally happened. And of course, where does it go? It goes to the San Francisco Giants to join.
I hope somehow it aligns where it's Snell versus Cease at Petco.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
I really hope it aligns that way.
That would be incredible. All right, stick around. We're just getting going. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios, starting with the Padres and the Dodgers, which starts tonight at 3 a.m. There's so much I want to get to today. Obviously, we're going to start previewing San Diego State and the University of Alabama, Birmingham, and Coach David Velasquez from the San Diego State basketball team will be here a little bit later on. And Keenan Allen shows up in Chicago. I want to get to all of this and so much more. This is Kaplan and Crew. Stick around. What's going on, everybody? It's Tuesday afternoon. This is Kaplan and Crew. Got Grande and the Brown Man here from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. Hey, by the way, real quickly, quick side note here. Browner, have we sent emails to all of our partners about the cruise, the Kaplan and Cruise, on March 30th, that Saturday, with Yacht America and Captain Troy and the incredible Yacht America team? Have we sent out emails confirming for our partners who's coming and who's not?
Not yet. Why?
Well, because there's 12 days until the event. How's that going to happen? Is that going to happen or is that not going to happen?
I mean, I'm ready to send them. I got to get the invitation.
Oh, so Alex sent
a regular email?
No, Alex sent the invitation the other day. The picture? Sent the invite? No. You didn't get it? No, you got to send him a link.
I can have it.
All right. Yeah.
I know.
I got to check on this every day, because if not, it's going to all get screwed up, you know? Because my man, Big Brown here, I got to give it up. Listen, four kids. I understand how hard that is. I got that. I understand how hard that is. Ooh. All right. So we got to get all of our partners to tell us who's coming and who's not coming. And then I would say by the end of this week, we got to start sending out invitations to all of the great friends that have sent us their emails and have asked that they could come and people that we knew were already available or were invited.
Are we accepting plus ones? This is very important. We need to figure this out as well. Are we accepting plus ones?
Well, everybody who I sent you their names, remember when I typed up that entire list and I sent that to you?
Yes.
That is everybody plus one. So, you know, if people are going to bring a plus one, so be it. If they're not, then they're not. But everybody who I sent you, you know, when I look at, like, you know, I have Don and Lori Benson, I wrote Joe Rigby and Bonnie, but like Miss Molly may or may not bring somebody. Bernard Thompson can bring Mrs. Bernard, although I think Bernard's not coming. Tommy will always bring a friend. Fat Tony will come solo. Christian Hogan usually comes solo, although sometimes he brings his son. Michael Ambacher brings his wife, you know. Ryan Miller, chances are he's a single. You know, Neil saw he's not coming. I think most of these folks are plus one, but they don't have to be. They don't have to be. I mean, let's see what the numbers look like, you know.
It's right now it's 40.
40
it's
plus
40. No, it's 40 people, and then if you do a plus one, that's now 80 people. So this is what I'm saying.
But is it 40 great friends, or is it 40 including including partners?
It's 40 great friends, period. Not with the plus ones.
Now, is that Don and Lori Benson? Are they two? Are Joe Rigby and Bonnie two?
I'm counting them as two. Joe Rigby and Bonnie are two. The following people, Bill Maloney plus one, Max Wills plus one, Graham Smith plus one.
I don't know who any
Raymond
of those
Diaz
people are.
Plus one. These are people who sent emails.
Oh, Raymond Diaz, I know. Yeah, I know Raymond
These
Diaz.
These are people who sent emails.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know the other names.
So that's
all right. Well, Got to figure it out, man. You said delegate for bandwidth. This is you, man. You run this operation.
All right. Well, a lot of y'all finna get cut. No disrespect. No disrespect. I love all y'all. Y'all know I love y'all, but you know, some of y'all got to go walk the plank. So the list will be done. The list will be done by the end of the day. The official list will be done by the end of today. Because okay. Now that I know that, I can just start cutting folks.
All right. Well, let's we'll reconvene on that. Hey, listen, let me ask this quick question. As we were talking about the Padres Dodgers, how do I bet baseball? I don't really know how to bet baseball. Maybe if we bring that kid back on from BetUS, maybe he'll explain how to bet baseball. I've never bet a baseball game in my life, and I don't even know what baseball lines kind of look like. Alex, have you ever bet baseball?
I've done over unders. I bet over unders on the total run scored for the game. And when I was last in Vegas during baseball season, I actually won 3 games doing over unders.
Can you, as we get ready for tonight, Tyler Glasnow versus Yu Darvish, can we start to add the lines on baseball?
I have been adding the lines for 2 years, my friend.
I've never known how to bet them, and I've never really done it. So here it is. The Dodgers are -190. So I guess you have to bet 190 to win 100. I don't really know how to bet baseball. Like I said, the over-under is 8.5 runs tonight. That seems like a lot of runs, doesn't it?
It's also the first game of the season, so the expectation is that the pitchers are not fully ready to go, mm-hmm. or that they won't go. You know, the chances of Yu Darvish going 7 to 8 is slim. So now you're talking about bullpen guys. That's normally what you see early on. You don't really know what to expect.
Okay. Well, here's what I want to say.
Plus, you look at that Dodgers offense, and technically you look at the Padres offense on paper, and you should expect some runs because Tyler Glasnow had a shortened season last year because he was injured for a lot of it. So,
okay. Well, I'm going to make a play. I'm going to go over the 8.5 runs, and I'm going to do it on BetUS. And I want to tell everybody right now, if you are looking to play baseball games this year, I'm going to be new to baseball wagering, okay? But I'm not new to the NCAA tournament, okay? March Mayhem, man. It is going on right now, March Mayhem. It's got this $1 million contest. Now, Bronner, you're giggling at me because you know that I haven't filled out my bracket yet, okay? But, see, I have this bracket right here, and I'm working off this bracket. This is a printed bracket that I have that has every single team. It has every single city, and I know who's playing. I have not handwritten in my bracket yet for BetUS. But I filled mine
this morning.
You filled yours in?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I was doing? I was looking at ESPN, and Jay Billis picked every single game. And I'm like, well, who knows more about college basketball, me or Jay Billis? And I thought, Jay Billis. So I thought to myself, why don't I just copy Jay Billis's entire bracket? Now, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be right because there's going to be upsets that are going to happen. And I'm going to guess, I haven't really dug deep into it yet, that he's going to pick like all the favorites. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's going to find me that 5-12. Maybe he's going to find me that 14-3. Maybe he's going to find me an upset somewhere. Not really sure yet.
Those are the folks who I usually use that kind of stuff for. Some of the games, like I always pick the Kentucky game myself, the UConn game myself. When we're going Charleston of Northeast Carolina, then I go to those guys and go, who'd they pick?
They didn't watch them play either, dude. You got just as good of a chance as they do. Like, I guarantee you right now, and I'm going to sound like a hater, and I don't care. I guarantee you right now, you guys know much more about San Diego State, Boise State, New Mexico, Nevada than they do.
Well, that, like, yes, 100%.
Like, they, but that's my point, is Jay Billis knows Duke, knows North Carolina, knows the big teams. He don't know anything about Howard and Grand Canyon and Charleston. I promise you.
I've been trying to decide as I look at the Mountain West teams, because I know that the Mountain West still is not going to get respect nationally. And I know yesterday we showed everybody that there are 6 teams from the Mountain West that made it in. But San Diego State, which finished as the runner-up in the tournament, they're the highest-rated seed. Now, granted, they made it to the national championship game last year. But even a team like Utah State, for example, that won the regular season, they didn't really get respected in terms of their seeding. So I'm just wondering, could this be the year where the conference gets 6 teams in and it surprises everybody by showing off that the Mountain West is better than what people know?
All I know is this, and I don't even have the exact number, so I don't know it all that well. the Mountain West is god awful in the NCAA tournament historically.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I want to say San Diego State was the only team that actually won a game last year.
Mm-hmm. You might be
and the
right.
year before that, I think we all got swept out right away.
Yeah.
So what if we got six teams, if three of us win a game, that's a success. That's a massive dub for the conference.
Out of six?
Well, yeah.
I would say
because,
two.
Well, because two of them are in the in-season,
right.
the play-in.
The play-in.
That's so what I'm saying. Like, if three is a massive success, as I said. Like,
right. Boise State and Colorado tonight. So, you what?
I never count the play-ins.
Well, I mean, they're part of it. I mean, Boise State plays Colorado. That's the first game. What time is that game today? That game is...
like, right now.
Oh, okay, right now. Okay, Boise State, Colorado. Then tomorrow, you've got Virginia versus Colorado State. So, I mean, there's an opportunity for, you know, kind of middle of the road ACC Virginia, who's got a lot of history to their program, versus, you know, I would say, you know, top five in the Mountain West, Colorado right. State.
Here is the Mountain West, their entire history in the NCAA tournament. Well, this is including Utah and BYU, like teams that have actually made it, but like mm-hmm. current teams right now. SDSU, losing record, 11-12. Nevada, 3-7. Vegas, 2-4. New Mexico, 2-5. Colorado State, 1-4. Boise State, 0-4. Utah State, 0-3.
That's all
in their
time?
History. Yeah. In
wow,
their
UN, history. I'm surprised UNLV is only 2-4. That doesn't seem right to me. UNLV.
I mixed those up. Nevada, 2-4. UNLV, 3-7.
At all time? How's that possible? UNLV, didn't they?
As a Mountain West school.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay. Understood. Yeah. All right. So listen, here's what I want to say to everybody. If you're ready to play March Mayhem, if you're ready to play the baseball season, if you're going to play the women's tournament, whatever, and you're looking for how can I make these plays, BetUS, BetUS.com, 1-800-MYBETUS. They've got a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Okay. And then they've also got, for those of you that use cryptocurrency, 200% crypto sign-up bonus. BetUS.com, 1-800-MYBETUS, or use the QR code that's on the screen right now. Okay. Now take me back to the Padres and the Dodgers. Yep. Right. From Padres, Dodgers, and wagering to basketball wagering, BetUS, right back to the Padres, Dodgers. As we prepare for this game, let's take a listen in here to the new manager, Mike Shildt, and hear some of the stuff that he's been talking about while having press conferences over in Seoul, Korea. Let's take a listen. We'll all have a chance to comment.
One of the first questions. Hey, Mike, expectations. You know, you're in the division with the Dodgers. You're in the division with the Diamondbacks, who were in the World Series. You're in a division with the Giants, who have a formidable pitching rotation. What are your expectations for the Padres this year?
To answer your ultimate question, you know, from my lens, we compete against ourselves. You know, it's not about who else in our division. I can't control it. Wouldn't even begin to try other people's perceptions. All I can talk about is our clubhouse and the view of which we take it and I take it. And that would be that, you know, we play our game. We're going to be respectful of our opponents. We have high expectations, and that doesn't change regardless of who's in our division or who's not in our division. You know, we're the San Diego Padres, and we played our game.
Mm-hmm. Nothing really there. Nothing so exciting. I mean, just kind of coach talk. I got it.
Here's some more coach talk, kind of. Quite, the question was a coach question. Coach, what do you like about your team this year?
We just got I love this group. I am really thrilled about this group. You know, you mentioned those three guys. You know, clearly they've got the track record, as you mentioned, that we're going to lean upon. These guys are hungry for what's – they're not relying on their past. They're looking to build for their future, and they're looking to do it together, and they're looking to bring people with them, and they're sincere about being the best at getting better. And when you have your three best players historically that have that mindset on the position player side, and, of course, we have it on the pitcher side too with Joe and you, and this is a group that is really hungry to continue to get better as the season progresses, as the game progresses, then you got something pretty special. So it's a very special group. I'm honored to be a part of it, to manage them, and looking forward to continue to improve with them.
Who are the three guys he's talking about?
Machado, Tatis, Bogarts.
Really?
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
You're talking about those three guys? I mean, Machado.
Well, what three guys are you talking about?
Well, I don't know.
Guys would you possibly else be talking about?
Well, hold on a second. Machado.
Luis Campusano, Jackson Merrill.
I don't know.
Bobby Pham.
How about Ha-Seong Kim?
That's who we're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. How about Ha-Seong
here's
Kim?
The thing about the Padres is that you know, here's the thing. The guys that are always going to be talked about as leaders on this team, they all have a contract. And that's why they're talked about that way.
Period.
So it's those five guys have the contracts. Those five guys are on your team. Those five guys are your leaders. Are they your best players? Currently not. But those are your five guys.
I mean, dude, if you're going to tell me three guys, I can figure out Manny Machado and I can figure out Fernando Tatis because to me, he's, you know, your youngest and most upside talented kind of guy. But I wouldn't know if you're talking about Bogarts because he's been here 1 year and he was not your best shortstop, even though you signed him to play that position that they moved him. So why would I know automatically that it's Bogarts versus Kim? And you have the right answer, Alex. The answer is because those are your three guys that are signed. Like somebody asked me yesterday on this Dodger podcast that I did, somebody said, well, what are they going to do with Ha-Seong Kim? If they move Bogarts to second, is the plan to move him back to short next year when Kim is a free agent and he can take off and go make big money somewhere else? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe that is the plan. But why? Why would you do that then? To help him increase his value and move and him move? So is Bogarts now your second baseman? And when Kim eventually leaves, what are they going to do? Bring Tatis back in?
This is what I said. This is why I said it didn't make sense from the very beginning. If he plays shortstop well, if he mimics the year he had last year, and he's solid at shortstop, he's out of their price range. Period. End of discussion. If he does what he did last year, because he was their best player last year from beginning to end, and he plays a solid shortstop, he's outpriced himself for them. Period. He's no longer a utility guy. He's no longer a cool story where the little guy who tries hard. Now he's got to get paid, and they don't have the money to do that. So this move does not make sense.
I just thought it was funny.
So AJ Preller went to the school of what the Buffalo Bills GM said like 2 weeks ago. If I trade up to get Josh Allen and it doesn't work, I'm not going to be here to suffer the consequences. AJ Preller is on that same boat right now, my friends. If this season don't pan out, his safety blanket's gone, dude. Peter Seidler is, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just telling you, like, he's gone. And he loved AJ Preller. He loved AJ Preller. He was the guy that propped AJ Preller up. He called AJ Preller excellence. He's like, AJ Preller is excellence. If these moves don't work this year and the Padres miss the postseason, he's gone. He's gone. It's that simple. And if it does work, then we'll figure it out because he's got a longer leash now for next year, too.
Well, I just thought it was funny that Schilt talked about those three guys. And I'm like, okay, the three guys with the contracts or the three best guys?
Who are the three best guys?
I would say the three best guys are Ha-Seong Kim, Tatis. Well, I'm just saying best offensive defensive combination. Mm-hmm. Ha-Seong Kim, Tatis, and I would say Machado, but again, Machado is not really healthy yet. So,
sure. All I'm saying is this too.
I would disagree with that.
Okay. Like Xander Bogaerts had a bad year last year by his standards, but what we expected. But at the end of the day, the dude is a two-time World Series champion. He comes from a giant market. He knows what he's doing.
Correct. Okay.
But he was movable defensively because they think they have somebody better. So that's a legitimate question. That's all.
That was Tatis.
If you put both of those guys on the market, if you put Ha-Seong Kim on the market today, and you put Xander Bogaerts on the market today, Xander Bogaerts would command more money.
Like over who? Sorry.
Ha-Seong Kim.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, his resume is better for sure. No doubt. No doubt. What's the last thing that Schilt said that we should?
That was it. I just had those two.
Those two, huh? Mm-hmm. Just those two?
Just all miss right. me with that guy, man. I'm good. I'll pass.
Oh, I saw. I have three of them right here. I have three comments, but I guess there's only two, huh? Mm-hmm. And what did Joe Musgrove have to say?
Questions are being asked about. Obviously, we argued about leadership on this team at nauseam last year. Mm-hmm. And this year, you know, that's been Mike Schilt's number one thing from all reports is we have to get the clubhouse in order. That's my homework. That's what he's been doing. Joe Musgrove talked about it, saying, quote, Shilty made a point to get the leadership group together for everything. And you're not going to like this because it's the same five guys. But I'll keep the quote going. Every conversation is all of us contract guys together talking about it. So we're on the same page. And I think everyone has been able to kind of play a certain role in leadership that maybe alleviates pressure from a guy that's not comfortable being the vocal leader or maybe doing a certain role that was sort of out of his realm. So I think everyone working together makes it a little bit easier on him.
You know what, though? I'm going to say one thing. It's not that I don't like it. I do like it. You know, listen, Manny Machado is signed for 10 years. Xander Bogaerts is signed for another 10 years. Fernando Tatis is signed for another, whatever it is, 11 or 12 years. Okay. Yu Darvish has, I don't know how many years it is, 4 years left.
Five or four, yeah.
Okay. And Musgrove has 4 years left on a five-year deal, right? So those five guys are your core. But in my opinion, I would add one other guy to that. I really would. I would add Jake Cronenworth to that because Jake Cronenworth also signed what was a, I want to say like a 7-year deal. Mm-hmm. So, to me, I don't know why you call it us five. I don't know why you don't call it us six. I mean, maybe Jake Cronenworth didn't get a, you know, $100+ million contract. And so maybe the threshold is anybody with $100 million or more, that's our guy. Anybody with $100 million or below, yeah, you may or may not be here. I'm just kind of surprised that Jake Cronenworth, who got a 7-year contract, is not considered part of that group.
He might be.
Well, they said the five guys didn't, or he said the guys under contract
guys.
He said the contract guys.
But Shilt talked about the three. Mm-hmm. I don't. I'd have to go back and read the article to see if Jake was mentioned again. Yeah. I'll do it real quick.
Yeah, but that's interesting. So, Browner, you're shaking your head.
Also, a dude that hit 200 and had a broken hand at the end of the year, and we all forgot was on the team in the final month of the season when they had their best success.
But prior to that, the year before, Jake Cronenworth was a very important, very important part of this team.
Prior to that, the year before, Xander Bogaerts was an all-star, incredible shortstop for the Red Sox. So,
right. Just want to say that for the Red Sox being an important line right there.
Right. So I'm just saying we can say a lot of things about 2 years ago for a lot of people.
Yeah, but the difference is one of those guys was doing it in a Padre uniform.
Yeah. And he was sucking in a Padre uniform too, is my point.
All right, listen, let's keep going. Let's keep rolling. On the way, let's start looking ahead to San Diego State, University of Alabama, Birmingham. Let's start talking about this tournament. And also, last night in the NBA, there were two dunks in particular that I actually really want to talk about today. Stick around. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studio, 7milecasino.com. You're looking to play blackjack, poker, or other table games and have a great brunch or dinner or lunch happening at Sammy's Restaurant and Bar, 7 Mile Casino is the place to be. Stick around. All right, guys. Hey, I want to just take a quick minute here. Because yesterday, I saw a bunch of people on our YouTube chat talking about what if I can't get a Kaplan and Crew hoodie in time for the boat trip on Saturday, March 30th. Well, today is Tuesday. It's March 19th. Bro, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time. Alex, I don't know if you could check the website to see if any specials are happening today. Because sometimes we don't even know there's a 20% savings. There isn't anything today?
No.
Okay. No problem. So look, again, I always tell you guys this. This is not our deal. It's a third party, but we create the art and then they put it up. And then when you order it, they make it and send it to you. So whether it's the Spanos Hater Club or the Herbolt shirts, or we'll come up with some new stuff here for the Padres season. But right now, if you're coming on that boat trip on March 30th, and I don't even know if you've gotten an invitation yet, we'll figure that part of it out. Remember, it's only the three of us. Make sure you have Kaplan and Crew merch. Even if you're not coming on the boat, but you're going to come pregame and you're going to come tailgate with us, make sure you're rocking your Kaplan and Crew merch so that we can all take one giant family picture and everybody's rocking the gear. All right. Go to kaplanandcrew.com. While you're there, this is important. While you're on our website, need you to vote on the Brown Facts brackets. Okay. We ranked them yesterday, 1 through 16, and now the brackets are available. So if you go back, Alex, to the website, go to kaplanandcrew.com. If you scroll down about halfway, you're going to see the sided debate of the day and just vote on our polls. Here we go. Alex is going to show it to us right now. All right, here it is.
I already voted on them, so.
Oh, right. So how will the Korea series play out? Okay.
Padres sweep. Bam. There you go.
There you go.
Here's all
the other ones. Okay. Really cool. All right. So make sure you're voting. We definitely want to hear what you guys have to say.
Who scored?
Clemson files lawsuit against ACC over exorbitant exit fees. Okay. That's what just popped up on my phone. All right. Let's get back to the show. All right, great friends. Hey, what's going on? It's Kaplan and crew. Got Grande and the Brown Man. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. Hey, listen, what a beautiful day, man. We have been getting, honestly, like we complained about all the rain for a while. And Brown, I know you complained, hey, I don't pay to live here if it's going to be like this. We're starting to get our weather back. And check me on this, but today may be the first day of spring. I don't really like, you know, I think we... Did we fall back or did we spring forward here recently? We sprung forward. Okay. We sprung forward with the clocks. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And again, somebody would have to check the official calendar, maybe the Farmer's Almanac. I'm not sure, but I think today is the first day of spring.
In San Diego or in the country?
No, I think in the world, I think.
In the world, fam.
Yeah.
Listen, because here's the deal. I don't care to know when the season starts. I just know that it's nice out every day here. That's what we want, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Right. But yes, to your world calendar from the Farmer's Almanac, today is the first day of spring.
All right, how about that?
Until Thursday, June 20th.
Okay, and then it turns summer, huh?
I think that's what's next.
Okay, I think so. All right, very good. All right, hey, just a final thought here on what we were talking about to end the last segment, and then I'm going to get into a whole bunch of other stuff. So, you said you were going to go back and read that article.
Yeah, so Cronenworth was quoted at the end of this article.
What did he say?
Being part of this. He said, quote, I think it's the group of older guys that have come together and kind of taken it upon ourselves that, like, Manny's the big dog and Shilty's our leader, but I think the older guys on the team have kind of taken it upon us. Like, this is how we're going to play. So he is mentioned in that.
Okay, good. He should be. I think he should be. All right, beautiful. All right, Padres. Like Padres and Dodgers. Well, hey, but listen. That's another guy that got moved from his position and then had to learn a whole new position because they just keep moving everybody around. Like, you know, most teams, you know, this guy's a shortstop, he plays short. This guy's a right fielder, he plays right field. Mm-hmm. But the Dodgers are in the same boat, you know, and there are some Dodger fans out there that expect Mookie Betts to all of a sudden just show up at short and be an all-star caliber shortstop. And then there's a lot of other Dodger fans that are kind of like us that are like, well, I'm a little skeptical. Frankly, just like I'm a little skeptical about Xander Bogaerts at second, like is just because I saw what happened when you moved Jake Cronenworth to second to first. On the other hand, you saw what happened when you moved
offensively.
Yeah. I mean, he's a solid first baseman defensively. I mean, but then again, we were kind of, you know, comparing him to what we had prior to that, which was Eric Hosmer, which I don't know how on planet Earth this guy at some point earned a gold glove. I don't quite understand that. That guy don't know the fundamentals of the position.
Damn the fundamentals. He didn't even know the physical place to be on the field. He didn't know where to be to catch the ball, bro. Like, and you've been standing here all day. Now all of a sudden you're gonna go behind the thing instead of in front. All right, cool. Where how much are you getting paid again? All right.
Let me do this. So let me move on.
Thanks, Eric. Enjoy your retirement, brother.
Mm-hmm. Let me move on to a few other things. Before I do, hey, I want to remind everybody, this stuff right here that I'm holding up, Mushroom Life's Life Brew Coffee. It actually surprises me. I didn't know this because I never was in... When I get coffee in the grocery store, I get it in the coffee section. If you go to any of your, what I would call, kind of higher-end grocery stores, you know how many mushroom coffee products there are? I didn't know it. Seriously, go next time. You don't drink coffee at all?
Mm-mm. Well, not unless it's got a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah. So there are a lot of different mushroom coffees because people like the benefits of mushrooms. This Life Brew coffee that I'm holding up has shiitake mushrooms, which is a great source of B vitamins. It has the king trumpet mushroom, which is an inflammatory reduction sort of mushroom. It also has lion's mane, which supports memory and focus and nerve regeneration. So it's not just like caffeine where it's like fire me up. There are a lot of health benefits to natural mushrooms. It's not psilocybin. It's not going to get you tripping. It's not going to get you high, which some of you might want, which you're like, oh, then don't sell me that coffee. Don't do that. But I've been taking this Life Brew coffee and actually putting a scoop into my regular coffee. And I'm telling you guys right now, you feel the focus. You really do. So check them out at Life Brew, L-Y-F-E, lifebrew.com, and use our code K-Life, L-Y-F-E, K-Life 20 to save 20% on the Life Brew coffee. Alex, you've been drinking it, or did you only drink it that one day that Brett was on?
I've had it that one day.
Yeah, I've been using it every day. And I usually drink it at about 3:45 in the afternoon. I have a cup of coffee and I take a scoop of the Life Brew and I put it in, and then I am on fire, man. My brain is active, which I really need. So
it genuinely is good though. Like, it really was good. Like, it's like you said, it's kind of like a latte. Like, you don't need to add stuff to it. It's just as good as is.
Yeah. I got this buddy of mine, my friend Marty, and he's super into mushrooms. And so I gave him like an entire lineup of all the Mushroom Life products. And he swears that the sleep product,
the health ones or the trippy ones?
No, the health ones. He says the sleep gummies are the best sleep gummy product he's had. This guy walks around with a bag that's all mushroomed out. You know,
dude, I tell the sleep gummies are the best gummies, the best sleep aid I've ever used. It has zero hangover, zero drogginess effect. So shout out
to Brett, Life Brew, L-Y-F-E, Life Brew. And then, of course, you know, all the products are available on Mushroom Life. Okay.
His tagline for the coffee should be, get the bag.
Get the bag. You know what? Text him. Let him know. Let him know. He's not cool enough to know that. He thinks he is, but he's not.
You know, I am. I'm going to get a
text that brother. Text that brother and say, I got an idea for you. Get that bag. That's a great idea, man. He should get it right away. Get that bag. All right. I love it. All right. Let me do this. Speaking of getting that bag. So when the Chargers traded Keenan Allen to the Bears, remember the story was that Keenan Allen refused to take a renegotiation of his contract with the Chargers. Now, Joey Bosa did it. I mean, Joey Bosa went from, don't quote me exactly on the numbers, but Joey Bosa went from like $36 million a year to a base salary of, call it, I'm just making this up here, but like call it $22 million. Okay. But then if he stays healthy and he achieves a certain number of sacks, he's going to get another $4 million. And then, by the way, if he's healthy and he's productive, then by this time next year, he's not going anywhere and they're going to owe him like another $12 million. My man is going to make his money back if he's healthy and productive. If he's not healthy and productive, he's going to make a healthy amount of money. He's going to stay in his house in LA. He's going to be comfortable. And you know what? Next year at this time, he'll probably go play with his brother in San Francisco, because the 49ers have had their defensive line pretty much raided here in the free agency period, right? So Joey Bosa was willing to take the pay cut and take the risk. Mm-hmm. Same goes for Khalil Mack. You know, Keenan Allen, not the case. Keenan Allen's like, you guys want me to renegotiate my contract to help you guys? That's not happening.
After the year I just had?
And given that I'm like 32 years old or whatever, 31, 32 years old, dude, this is the last big contract of my career. And I'm not renegotiating it and I'm not taking less. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Unlike these two guys, I'm willing to tell you guys no. And I will leave. If you want me to leave and you can trade me to somebody else, fine. I don't care who it is. You'd send me to Jacksonville. You could send me to Seattle. You could send me to Green Bay. I don't care where it is. You trade me, because whoever I go to, they pay that contract. Keenan Allen yesterday in Chicago at his press conference. Take a listen to this.
When a team asks you to restructure a deal after you've been with them for so long, what are the emotions they go through your head, and do you need to push those out and then make a business decision, or
deal with that? I mean, it really was no emotion. It was, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Came off my best season, so it's not happening.
I can't say I blame that young brother right there. Right?
Best I've ever played, and you want me to take less money now? No, I'm good.
Yeah, you can go ask Bosa. He didn't do anything for you last year.
Right. Nothing. And Mac's getting old, so he'd like it in L.A. He don't want to go nowhere else. Me? I need my money.
And I'm relatively, you know, nowadays I could still play for a few more years, but I ain't going to take less to play.
Uh-huh. Listen, Mike Williams.
About no Harbaugh. Harbaugh don't coach no offense.
Right. Mike Williams, that dude can't stay healthy.
You're going to make me no money.
if Mike Williams can't stay healthy and you guys don't want him on your team, that's your business. Right. I understand that. I understand. But I'm healthy. I'm productive. I've been with you guys my entire career.
Y'all drafted this bust last year. He can't catch a cold.
Right. I'm the guy. I'm your number
on the training table.
I'm your number one receiving option. And of all these guys that you're going to ask to take pay cuts, you want me to take a pay cut coming off the season I just had? Yeah, I don't think so. Oh, wait. You need me to take a pay cut because you guys were always so cheap when it came to hiring head coaches, and now you've just dumped a ton of money into Jim Harbaugh. And by the time this team is really, really, really ready to win, I'll probably be on my way out into retirement anyway. And now you want me to take a pay cut? Listen, when you sign a deal like he signed and you're now 32 years old and you realize, hey, the end is closer than the beginning, you got to make every penny you can make. This is why, by the way, this is why I was so surprised that Aaron Donald actually retired. Look, I get it. He made a lot of money. He did. But when you walk away from $35 million, it just surprises me because most guys don't do it.
I think I hear what you're saying, but they, from such different angles, they approached it. Like Keenan Allen's never really won anything. He's never been regarded as the best defensive player ever. And after football, is there really money for Keenan Allen? I would argue all those things will be there for Aaron Donald. And two, this idea that because we're in LA, there's another way for you to earn this money if you take less money here. Like, that works with the Lakers all the time. That will never work with the Chargers.
No.
Never, ever, ever. No. And so, therefore, you got to pay me. If I'm him, he damn right. You got to pay me.
Yeah. Listen, right now, it won't work for the Rams either. You know, I mean, the Rams don't have one player, including Aaron Donald, who just retired. The Rams don't have one guy that, you know, Madison Avenue in New York goes, that guy is so recognizable and so well-liked. That guy, we got to plaster his face all over television commercials.
There's also a certain type of guy that plays for Jim Harbaugh. Keenan Allen's not a Harbaugh guy. Like, I could see Keenan Allen thinking Harbaugh's corny as hell, dude. Like, his whole, like, nobody. Like, I don't know, man. I don't think Keenan jives with that at all. And I bring that up because, like, that's another reason why I'm not going to take a pay cut. You want me to go play with this corny dude? Like, come on, man. He ain't win nothing in the NFL.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but okay. There you go. Thank you. You got to buy all that stock. If you're going to put that helmet on as Jim Harbaugh as your head coach, you got to buy every piece of that stock. You got to buy the whole thing from the rooter to the tutor. Because if you don't, it's going to be corny. You're going to get annoyed by it, and you're going to burn out on them. But if you buy the whole thing from beginning to end.
Yeah. It's the same thing with Pete Carroll, by the way. I think it's the same thing with Pete Carroll. Like, you got to buy into Pete Carroll. You have to buy into Jim Harbaugh. There's certain coaches out there that they have these personalities. Yeah. They have these personalities, these ways of talking to their players that can come off as corny. Belichick, not so much corny, but that you just got to buy into it. Always compete. Mm-hmm. Always compete. Or who has it better than us? You got to attack whatever the hell Harbaugh says.
I also think that I remember when Bill Cowher left the Steelers and Cowher said something like, you know, my message isn't getting through the way it once did.
Right.
Because after, you know, call it 6 or 8 years, and even after winning, you know, players hear the same crap over and over again. And they're like, okay, I've heard it all before. You know, I think the same goes for Pete Carroll. When he got to Seattle, it was fresh. It was new. He was the guy who was the most successful college coach. He was producing national championships and Heisman Trophy winners. And the guys were young and they were like, hey, follow his lead. And it worked, right? Until it didn't work anymore. And then in Harbaugh's case, you know, USD at the very beginning at University of San Diego, those kids were like, somebody help us become relevant, you know? And Harbaugh, I'm a former NFL player. I'm a former Charger player. I am a family of coaches. Follow my lead, guys. Let's all do push-ups every day. Let's and who's got it better than us? All that stuff worked at USD. Go to Stanford. It works there. He was still young enough and successful enough in college that when he went to the Niners were no longer the Joe Montana, Steve Young Niners. They were not a great organization. You know, Harbaugh started to bring the Niners back, and there were other coaches that, I mean, there was like a guy, remember this guy, Jim Tomasulo.
Mm-hmm. I want to say Jim Tomasula.
Yeah. Right. There was a period of time where the Niners just weren't good. Harbaugh started to bring them back. He was young. He was energetic. He had young quarterbacks. I mean, he had Alex Smith, but you know, Colin Kaepernick, that was a tough decision. He showed the team, I'm more about the team than I am about an individual, blah, blah, blah. Got him to a Super Bowl.
Dude, go ahead.
The point I'm trying to make is that you're bringing up a great point, Alex, that it is possible that a guy like Keenan Allen would never jive with a guy like Jim Harbaugh at Keenan Allen's age. And also having already seen Jim Harbaugh's act, you know,
I mean, you guys talked about it this offseason, how, you know, I didn't think he particularly wore out his welcome at Michigan, but you guys do believe that he kind of wore out his welcome. And that's been the case everywhere. He's just kind of, he's a lot to handle,
a lot
for ownership, for executives, for front office, for players. He's just a lot to handle. And Browner is 100% correct, dude. You can't just buy like half a share, bro. You got to go all in if you're going to play for Jim Harbaugh.
That's just all of it.
That's just what it is. Yeah. Which is not a bad thing. It's just what it is.
Hey, let me do this. Let me say this. I want to move us to a different direction here. So I'm not going to say full stop, but I'm going to say hard left turn. Ooh. Because David Velasquez, the assistant basketball coach at San Diego State, is going to join us in the next segment. I really want to talk San Diego State, NCAA tournament. Want to get a full scouting report on University of Alabama, Birmingham, et cetera, et cetera. But before we get there were two dunks last night in the NBA that we've got to talk about. The first one was Austin Reeves getting dunked on. This is like the first play of the Lakers game. I actually missed it live, and they went back and they showed it, the replay, and I was like, oh my God.
So don't call offensive fouls anymore, I guess.
I guess not. Browner, offensive foul, feet stopped.
Ain't no way in hell you gonna call that an offensive foul.
Just too good. Too good of a dunk.
You if you're the NBA and a referee calls this an offensive foul, that ref is out of the league. This will be everywhere. This will be on posters. This is trending on the internet. Hell, we're talking about it, and this ain't really a basketball show, okay? We're talking about the dunks from last night. You cannot call that an offensive foul. That's a great athletic play, and the sure NBA is. Needs to stop calling offensive fouls on plays like that, because that is the height of athleticism. That's what makes the NBA sweet.
That's assault.
Who is the kid from Atlanta? What's his name?
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson. Show us the play one more time, and I'll explain why I want you to see it. So here we're watching it right now. It goes right down the lane.
Over. Now that, see, to me, that's over him.
His feet were moving the whole time. Like that. Right. Look, his feet never stopped moving.
That's and that is what is known.
He tried to bail when he realized, wait, he's going over me. Yeah. He tried to bail out of the charge by ducking. And that, come on, dude, bro.
That is what is known as balls across the nose. Okay. Literally. I mean, that literally. Is what that is. I mean, his crotch
literally
is in Austin Reeves' face. So now,
literally. The good thing is that it was the first play of the game, so there wasn't any sweat built up yet.
So here's what happened. So I'm watching the post-game press conference last night because I had the Laker game on television, but my daughter and she had four friends that she's on spring break with, and they were all in the family room. And I did like a whole bunch of grilling last night. Let me tell you guys something.
Got your dad grill, on, huh?
My grill, there's like an ignite button.
Are we going to not get to the Anthony Edwards dunk because you're going to tell us about your grill?
Well,
the Anthony Edwards dunk is better than your grill. No, just
I know it is, but no, it's not even that. It's the Austin Reeves post-game press conference. It's even better than it's all
better
of it.
Than, yeah,
it's it better is. Than all of it. It is. So I'll tell you about the grill thing in a second. Okay. So because you guys will get a kick out of what I did to myself last night. I maimed myself last night. Okay. On this grill, I maimed myself. All right.
Okay.
Which part?
So, my arm.
Okay.
Did the grill put its junk on your face too?
Pretty much.
Left the mark.
So here's what happened. So after the game, so I'm watching the game. The game, I mean, the Lakers pounded Atlanta last night. Big deal. You know, who cares? Atlanta's not that good. Right. And so I'm not getting excited about the Lakers beating Atlanta, right? But after the game, D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves are sitting at the post-game press conference, and one of the reporters finally has the guts to ask Austin Reeves about getting facialed, okay? And here, watch and listen to how this played out.
It would be negligent not to ask you, Austin, about...
See, this is why I don't like you.
I know. I'm a good reporter. What happened on that first play?
Everybody's seen what happened.
Nobody had your view.
You don't want my view. Was it not a charge?
D'Angelo Russell says at the end, was it not a charge? No, it wasn't. Bro. It wasn't. No. It wasn't a charge. And listen, give it up to Austin Reeves, because at least he had a sense of humor about it. And the reporter, this guy, Dan Wojcicki from the LA Times, he's like, it would be negligent if we don't ask. And right away, Austin Reeves, this is why I don't like you, dog. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, tough. You know, he goes, everybody saw what happened. Nobody had your view. Nobody saw the nose.
That's what makes a good reporter. I know you don't want this question, but it's the elephant.
Yeah.
Tell me, what color is it?
Right.
Like, come on, bro. What are we doing?
Yeah.
The guy by the way, on. It happens.
The Anthony Edwards dunk, by the way. You want to watch this? Oh. Oh my God. I mean, unbelievable dunk last night.
He dunked so hard, he dislocated his finger, and John Collins is now out with a head contusion.
Really? What do you get hit in the head with his leg?
It should be out embarrassment.
Right. Well, wait a second. David Velasquez will join us next, but you got to see Anthony Edwards' reaction when he sees the dunk after the game. Stick around. Let's talk Aztec basketball. Assistant coach David Velasquez next. This is Kaplan and crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. All right, great friends. Hey, Tuesday afternoon, Kaplan and crew with Grande and the Brown Man, and we are in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. David Velasquez, the long, long time San Diego State assistant basketball coach, will join us coming up in a matter of moments. We'll get a full scouting report on San Diego State versus UAB. That is on the way. But before we get there, we were talking in the last segment about amazing dunks last night in the NBA. Austin Reeves got facialed. I mean, he got posterized, and it will live forever. And I thought he had a sense of humor about it in the post-game press conference, which I really thought was awesome. But Anthony Edwards, this kid from the Minnesota Timberwolves, who some people say will become the face of the NBA, I kind of find it hard to believe. But I'll tell you right now, athletically, this kid is, I mean, he's unbelievable. And the dunk that he had last night in this game against Utah was spectacular. Alex, for everybody that's watching, let's take a look at it one more time. And I mean, dude, Browner, that looks like what Kevin Garnett did to you, dog.
No, listen, now it wasn't that bad. I'd have fought Kevin Garnett. It wasn't that much body contact.
Also, this one was an offensive foul. Actually, an offensive foul.
What are you doing?
He led with his arm and jabbed the guy in the face.
Well, dude.
And he didn't even dunk it. He threw it.
Right. He didn't really dunk it. Watch what happened, though, after the game. After the game, when the announcers were doing a post-game interview with Anthony Edwards, watch what happens when Anthony Edwards is shown the dunk himself. Because Alex is right. He doesn't really dunk it. He kind of just throws it in.
That's what makes it better.
Yeah. But here's what happens when Anthony Edwards gets shown the dunk after the game. Here, watch.
I couldn't even react because I dislocated my finger. I couldn't react.
All right. Oh my God, it's hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
He's like,
okay, all, did I just hear him say what I think I heard him say?
I think so. I think I got to edit that out.
Did he say the N-word?
Okay, listen. I love Anthony Edwards, and his youth and his energy is beautiful. The NBA needs it. He needs a PR person to kind of curb his language, because he talks like that. Oh,
dude, he's talking to a white guy announcer. You know, I mean,
correct. Anthony Edwards is a very good player, and he's going to be in the top five soon. He does this kind of stuff a lot.
Well, we will edit it. We will edit it out so that nobody actually hears
it. Curb his language. Yeah. I love that kid, man. He's awesome, but you can't be saying that. Come on,
We will edit it out. All right, David Velasquez is standing by, the longtime San Diego State basketball assistant who is here back on Kaplan and Crew. Coach V, what is going on, man? How are you?
What's going on, boys? Good to see you guys again. Everything's good, man. Excited for UAB. Excited to get to Spokane. Last time we were there, got a win over Gonzaga. And you remember that last run we had in 2014, went to a Sweet 16 from Spokane. So excited to get back there.
Yeah, and a five seed again this year. So, I mean, I don't think anybody looks at that and goes, well, we're only a five seed, so we don't really have a chance. I mean, based on what you guys did last year, we all have, like, ridiculously high expectations. I'm sure you guys probably feel the same way, right?
We just got to beat UAB and then figure out where the chips fall from there and whoever will play on Sunday. But, yeah, we're excited. We felt like we got better this past weekend. You know, that's a huge thing this part of the year. Last year's team, you know, I thought as the year kept continuing to go on, we got better from Charleston to Furman to Alabama to Creighton. Like, we continue to get better. And so hopefully we can do the same thing this year. I felt this past weekend we did get better. Didn't make enough shots, obviously, on Saturday to win the game. But we compete, man. We get after it. We compete. Yeah. And that's all you can ask for our guys.
You know, it is funny you say that because Jaden Ladie said after the game that he actually thought that the team had gotten better over the weekend, even though lost the game, the championship game on Saturday in New Mexico. And I thought to myself when I heard that at the press conference, I'm like, well, what does he mean? Because, you know, went ice cold late in that game against New Mexico and then lost the game. So I'm curious from your perspective and from the team's perspective, when you say we got better over the weekend, you're probably not just thinking about the last 5 minutes of one game. You're probably looking at it in its totality. Would you explain to everybody who's listening and watching what you think of when you say we got better?
I think it's a togetherness that we're playing with, a connectivity that we all have now that's better. I mean, on Friday night, we probably played our best game, to be honest. I thought our game against Utah State was the best game we played all season. And again, it's covering for each other on defense. It's offensively, it's knowing where the guy likes to get the ball, when they're going to shoot, when, you know, all those little things that, you know, it takes a season to figure out. I think we're getting better with all those things. How to get Jaden the ball, Jaden's ability to pass out of double, triple teams that he's having now. He's playing his best basketball. Our All-American is playing his best basketball right now. And now it's the other guys to step up and make some shots. But what Jaden did this past weekend was the best basketball he played all season. Not a question in my mind.
Coach, one of the things when we're watching you throughout the year, there's been some heavy pointless droughts that have come in here. As a player, when you're on the court, you kind of don't know that the pointless drought is happening. You're playing so hard, you're missing shots. So now you're trying to focus. And fifth team in particular, you guys focus so well and you do so well on defense. So it's not like bad offensive play, bad defensive play. It's never continuous bad play. It's just on the side of the ball you guys will go. On the sideline as a coach, are you guys thinking of something? Okay, let's call this, let's call that to kind of break this? Or how do you guys work through that?
There's no question. I mean, that's our job. I mean, you know, again, we try to help Coach Dutch and who's calling the plays, you know, give him suggestions as much as we can. But again, it's just a huge credit to our team. I don't think people understand how hard that is to do. Like, take at UNLV last Tuesday before the conference tournament. We started 2 for 23. You know how hard that is to continue to play? It's brutal. But to continue to compete and get after it and believe that you can win and we still come back and we take a lead and we come back in the half. I mean, those type of droughts, like, you just don't want them to be at the end of the games, right? I mean, that's why we lost on Saturday. The droughts have usually came at the early parts of the game where we've been able to come back and fight through it. But no, you try to do the best you can to give Dutch suggestions and help the players as much as you can. But it's a huge credit to our guys to be able to continue to play hard and compete at the level they do when the ball's not going in the basket. I mean, they're not trying to miss, boys. I think we all understand that too. You know, it's just part of the game, and you know, it's basketball. And you know, I think when we do make shots, we're as good as anybody in the country. I believe that. I think we've shown that too,
Coach. It's got to be a unique situation going to the tournament this year, because what's the message, man? You guys had the run last year that both you and Dutch both came on this show and said, you know, we didn't think we were good enough to make it there, but we did. And we got to the championship game and you know, we lost to UConn at the end of it. But now, last night in preparation for this, I went back and I watched the FAU game.
And dude, Bird is on that team. Saunders is on that team. Jaden's on the bench. Like, you have so many guys back from last year, and now they're actually all playing this year. Like, what's the message this year? Like, how do you keep them grounded to, like, not look too far ahead, like, and to focus on UAB?
You know, that is actually not a problem. That, since they've already been through it, to not look, they know that. They know not to look ahead. They remember Charleston. They remember that we were down one and Micah had to make the three. That was a huge basket. I mean, that there's no looking ahead. And I think the experience from the run, from all the guys you had mentioned that were there last season, is the message is, let's just go beat UAB. You know, I mean, it's that simple. And like I said, the locker room in the film room right now, we just worked the guys out this morning. We have practice here at 1 o'clock. You know, there's a sort of like confidence and aura about, oh, this is the time right now. Like, I can feel it with our guys. And so I'm excited to see what we look like on Friday, because our guys know what it is now. Those guys, the experience that we've had already being in this tournament, there's nothing like it. There's no emulating it at practice. There's no Mount West Conference tournament that feels like it. I'm telling you, there's just something different about it. And once you've had success at that tournament, there's just a different level of confidence. I feel like different level of swagger that I feel like we'll have going into this weekend.
Yeah, we're talking to David Velasquez, the longtime San Diego State assistant basketball coach, getting ready for Friday's game against UAB in the NCAA tournament. You know, it is interesting, though, because as Alex says, the roster is not that different from a year ago. And a lot of these guys do have experience. And when you think about the game, for example, last week against UNLV that goes into overtime, it's to me, you tell us what you think. It is the run last year. It is the experience. It is beating the best teams in the country. It is playing on the biggest stage that gives you sort of the confidence and belief that we're never really out of these games.
Oh, there's no question. And Jaden said that, I think, in one of the times, like, We know that how it feels to be down and come back. We know what it feels like when the shot's not falling. Just continue to, you know, play the right way, continue to compete, and we'll find a way to, you know, win the game. And again, like I said, Saturday, unfortunately, just happened at the worst timing. That drought ended up happening. But you know, if you look back at that game, we got great shots. You know, and again, if we didn't turn the ball over a few times, I would have said, you know, the offense, you know, they put us in great positions to win the game. And they made some unbelievable shots, you know, credit to New Mexico. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, UAB is going to provide different challenges, but we're just going to stay the course. And again, the experience, like you said, and being able to fight through those droughts is a huge credit to our guys.
Coach, what's it been like going around all year now being the team that was in the championship game? Because you obviously had that experience. And now even in the tournament, you having so many guys back, the opposing coach is going, these guys were in the championship game last year. They're still all over there. This is your moment. He's telling his guys, this is your moment. So what are you guys telling your guys in response to that?
Well, you know, and I think Scott knows as well as anybody, we've had a bullseye on this chest for a while now at San Diego State when it comes to, you know, beating us. And we used to be the teams back when we were getting this thing going that, you know, we had a huge, massive chip on our shoulders. Not that we don't now, but you know, we had to earn that respect to everybody. And then when you get that respect, you have to keep the respect. And, you know, our guys have felt it all season. It's going to be no different this weekend, I'm assuming. I mean, I don't think it's going to be any different. Everybody's dream is to play in the Final Four. Now, the real dream is to win the national championship. We had that opportunity. So every kid that we're playing, every player we're playing, every coach that we're playing, they watched us in that thing last year. So, yeah, it's, you know, the bullseye's even bigger, and we got to do something that they've still dreamed about doing. And, you know, and they're going to say this is their moment, this is their time. And, you know, so it's our challenge to step up to that and you know, and handle it. I thought our guys did a great job. There's a reason we earned a 5 seed, too. You know, we didn't have the massive success that we wanted, but we earned a 5 seed. That's a huge credit to our guys.
Let me ask you about that
bullseye and still have everybody coming at you to earn a 5 seed is incredible.
Let me ask you about that, too, because the conference this year, 6 seeds, still a little slighted, though, having two of them in the play-in. But, like, do you feel that the conference has really prepared you guys for the tournament now? All the talking heads on ESPN and all over, they're like, this team is built for the tournament. That's what everybody says about you guys, right? But the conference this year, every freaking game was a bloodbath, man. Every game was close. Every game, even like the lower end teams were giving you guys trouble sometimes. Like San Jose was throwing up points like crazy. Do you think this year like the conference for the first, maybe not the first time, but has really prepared you guys to go into and play like any team.
Well, there's no doubt. And everybody always asks me, like, is this the best conference I've been in? You know, I've been here 22 years. So it's like, I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on is this is the best the conference been. But to me, it is, because it didn't have like the heavyweight years of like the Jimmer and Kawhi mm-hmm. teams, or in a few years ago, when we had Malachi Flynn, we were 30-2, and they've still got like what we were going to get three or four teams into that year. Like, yeah, no, they don't have those heavyweight teams. We weren't the heavyweight team either, you know, a top 10 team all year or anything like that. This was the deepest the league's ever been. And I mean is even San Jose State is a really hard win. Fresno State took Utah State 2 weeks ago, took an overtime bank shot for Utah State to win. Like, so the 8th, 9th, 10th place teams were really hard to beat. Air Force won at New Mexico in the pit. Like, what I'm saying, it was the deepest the league's ever been. So, yes, it did prepare all of us. I'm excited. You know, I mean, again, everybody in the Mountain West is mad about the seeding and all that. Maybe this is what we needed. Maybe this is now we'll start to get some wins in this tournament. Yeah. Everybody throughout the league that, you know, because I think this year's Mountain West is as good as it's ever been. And the teams are all ready to go. We all prepared each other for this moment. And now we all get to be each other's biggest fans and then go back to hating each other in a few weeks.
Hey, David,
did you guys hear that stat? I don't know if you know, Coach. No team has ever made it to the Mountain West Championship from the play-in game.
Yeah.
And New Mexico won the damn thing. Like, yeah, that's how deep they are, dude. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
It's crazy. It was an unbelievable year, and it's a huge credit to the league and to the coaches, players, obviously. You know, this league is awesome. It's always been awesome to me. You know, and we just haven't had the success in March that we've all wanted, and we've been a part of that as well. And last year we got to have the success we all wanted. But, you know, I think this year there's going to be multiple wins from multiple teams in this league. I really do. I believe that.
Coach, the kids have become, you know, more visible and more famous than really ever before for a San Diego State basketball team. Of course, you know, making it all the way to the championship. Have you seen the billboards with the kids all rocking the blenders?
Oh, yeah, baby.
have you seen these blenders?
They're the best. They're the absolute best. I love them. I love them. We're so lucky. We're so fortunate and blessed to have the love from San Diego, especially what Blenders did, Chase, what he did from Blenders for our guys. This is what you want. You know, it's San Diego. And Scott, you and I, we talked about this even personally, like this city, like it's us and the Padres now because of what your boy did to us. But yeah, it's just us and the Padres. You know, that's what it is. And my boy, it's not ownership in that, you know, like we're excited about that. And it's cool to have the community behind us. And, you know, it's just an unbelievable, it's the greatest city in the world. We all know that. And so, it's been awesome. It's been so cool. Even seeing Lamont's, he has a huge billboard on the side of an apartment building, and there's so many other things. Like Jaden's got great deals. I mean, it's just amazing to see the city support our players. I mean, and they deserve it. Our guys deserve all the love they get.
Yeah, what Chase Fisher did at Blenders. And let me tell you, his name is Chase, which is funny because I chased this guy down for months till I finally got him on a call and said, brother, I'm going to sell more sunglasses than anybody else. And he came on the show. Alex is wearing the ones that are, you know, for people who sit in front of computers all day. Do you have a pair of these, the 12th anniversary? Do you have them?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I went to the, when they had the whole thing, the whole drop, I went that day. I love them. I wear them every day.
Yeah, me too. And look at Browner. Look how cool Browner looks.
We all look good in blenders.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I know. And I to your point, it is amazing how, you know, a San Diego State alum feels so much pride that he wants to give back to the team and wants to, you know, have these anniversary glasses and give the money, because now that you can, to the kids. I just thought that was super cool. But again, it just goes back to what happened last year, which leads us to this year. So, Coach, can you give us a scouting report on Alabama-Birmingham? Because none of us have seen them play.
We don't know nothing.
They're incredibly athletic. They're actually a fun team to watch play, to be honest with you. They play really fast. They can really score the ball. They have a stud rebounder. Their best player, Landon Boyer, he's one of the top in the double doubles in the country. He's going to be a problem for us. They play a crazy zone defense. They mix up their defenses all the time. They go and trap you right away. They try to play as fast as you can. So it's going to be a challenge for us. They try to turn you over, and they really rebound the ball. So those are two things that we're going to have to, you know, to do to win the game. We're going to have to take care of the ball, and we're going to have to defensive rebound. So, again, if we can make the game a half-court game, it's probably going to be in our favor. But UAB is a very talented team. And it's like anybody in the NCAA tournament. no bad teams playing this weekend, boys. I mean, everybody's good, and everybody has really good strengths. And sometimes, and most teams have a weakness that you're going to try to expose and be able to hopefully use your strengths against theirs. And so, again, UAB is it's a fun team to watch. They get after it. They're completely different than us, which is good. You know, again, two different styles, and it'll be a fun game to watch.
Coach, I thought one of the I don't want to say setbacks, but one of the things that I've watched this team kind of struggle with is Ladie being such a breakout player. I talked to Coach at the beginning of the year after the first game. I went, who the hell is this guy? Why was he doing this last year? Coach, it was my fault. I didn't let him. And so to see him have such a spectacular year, I think it's been interesting to see each game who can be the second guy. Who can help him? Who can relieve the doubles? Who can help the stresses? Because he's become great at passing out of doubles, passing out of triples, fighting for offensive rebounds, and trying to find a way to find somebody open. How do you guys go about helping facilitate that second guy from a coaching staff perspective?
I mean, that's the magic, and if we for us to win, we need two or three other guys. I don't even know the stat, but if we have three guys, if we have Jaden in double digits probably every game, I'd assume. And two other guys, we're never going to lose. We won't lose. I mean, that's what Friday night was. We had four guys in double-digit scoring. We played great. I mean, it's just it's that simple. You know, even though we were down 17 again, 34-17, ended up winning by 16. But it took the other guys to get going. And it's hard to say, like, as a coach, like, what do we do to facilitate that? Because we have so many talented guys. And it's just you never know which night it's going to be for whatever guy. And you just got to try to put him in the best position to be successful. And again, a lot of it's also on Jaden. He has so much responsibility. When they send three guys, he's the one that's going to have to make the decisions to kick it out, and the other guy's going to have to make the shots and also still find him on the next possession. I mean, he's second in the country in drawing fouls. The guy that's ahead of him is Zach Edey, who's like he's a once-in-a-generation college basketball player. Yeah. I mean, that's how good Jaden is at drawing fouls on the other team. It's incredible.
Yeah. Hey, David, it's going to be a great weekend. And just, you know, we got to hustle because we're hitting this break. But it's amazing that the three teams that were in the Final Four last year, because Miami didn't make the tournament, but the three teams that were all in the Final Four that we were all down there in Houston last year, they're all in your bracket.
That's no coincidence. Come on, baby. We all know how that works.
Sweet 16 versus UConn sounds pretty nice, Coach.
Yeah, sounds great.
Let's just beat UAB. That's not Coach cliche. That's like that's the truth. Let's just beat UAB and figure out who we're going to play Sunday. So, but thank you guys for having me.
David, it is always great to be with you. Thank you, Coach, and congratulations to you, Coach Dutcher, and the entire Aztec basketball program. We appreciate you, man.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate
it. All right. There you go. David Velasquez. Go Aztecs. What a great conversation that just was. Oh, man, I got chills, man. He's one of those guys like Eric Spoelstra who started cutting film and then becomes a great coach. That's what David Velasquez is.
Also like Chase. We were all Aztecs together. We're all there at the same time.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, stick around. We got a lot more to get to. We're going to start looking at the Padres and the Dodgers. Hang out with us, everybody. This is Kaplan and Crew. Podcasters, let's go get uncensored. All right, great friends. Time to get uncensored all up in this biatch. I got to haul ass. I got to get from San Diego up to L.A. My boy AVP is in town with the whole contingent from the New England Patriots because tomorrow morning is the Caleb Williams workout. I know it's getting promoted all over ESPN. I'm going to go to that tomorrow morning.
Are you sure it's at 8:30?
I think it's earlier than that. What do you know or not?
No, I think it's later.
What time do you think it is?
I could be wrong. I could be very wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, NFL Network, I was scrolling last night on YouTube TV, and they were replaying Vikings Saints, the Minneapolis Miracle, and I just happened to be at the end of it, so I tuned in just to watch the play. And at the bottom, they were advertising USC Pro Day, 1:30 Eastern.
I don't know that that's the case. The case.
Okay.
But let me look. I'll look at my email because I got an email from USC. But
are you going to ask Caleb any questions after?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Like maybe something Browner, about
you
like,
got, Browner, game. You got a question for your future quarterback?
No, I am still unhappy about the situation. So give me some time. Give me some time.
Wait, hold on. Hold on.
Okay, hold on.
There you go.
Just
there he is, Browner.
People, just so people remember.
Browner is a Steelers fan.
100%.
Here,
black and yellow.
Here we go.
Let's see here.
Do not fucking.
Here we go.
Here we go. Steelers. Here we go.
No.
Pittsburgh's game dynasty Super Bowl. And
can y'all, if anybody's coming to the boat party, can y'all bring some Steelers gear for Browner, please?
Yeah. I'm rocking it. You already know what you
do.
If you listen to the show and you have a spare terrible towel,
can I make a terrible towel?
Yeah, make a terrible towel,
please.
Browner, Steelers fan. Hey, why don't we
make a terrible towel, put my face on it, yellow. Yeah,
right.
I'm gonna wave it.
Yeah. Hey, so here's what I have, Alex. Let's see. If you're receiving this email, you've been approved for credentials for USC's Pro Day. The event will take place at Allison Felix Field. Blah, blah, blah. On-field testing will begin at 8:30. Please pick up your credentials, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. I mean, maybe the
8:30 a.m.
Maybe what they do is maybe they have all the other guys work out and then Caleb comes in and they do something a little bit later on.
Prepare yourself for very loud music, by the way.
You guys have to be prepared tomorrow that it is conceivable that when we normally sit down to record, that this Caleb thing could be going on and I might be in the middle of it all. You know,
that'd be great. Just get your phone out. Do it from the phone.
Which, if I can, I will. 100%. I would
it's
check in with you guys.
Streamed. You should be able to.
I don't see why they would not allow us to live stream from there.
Yeah.
People will have cameras there.
There'll be cameras. I mean, there's gonna be a live broadcast on, I don't know if it's ESPN or if it's just the NFL network, but I mean, I do believe that it is being televised live. I mean, I watched Bo Nix
in addition to that
televised live on ESPN.
With the Patriots.
Yeah.
You're with the Patriots now.
Plus, I talked to my boy Lewis Riddick the other day, so he's coming in. I mean, it just seems like if you're a NFL coach, general manager, or media personality from around the country, you're coming in for this.
I mean, this is like Trevor Lawrence didn't get this. Like, this is like as big as it gets. When you know he's going to be the number one pick, you know where he's going. He's a Heisman winner. Like, in LA, this is as big as a pro day as it can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
You are correct. I just don't see the fuss of it.
I agree. But I agree with you. But like, this is going to be a massive thing tomorrow.
Yeah, and the other part of it is you have all these people from around the NFL that their teams will pay for them to fly to LA, stay in fancy hotels, eat fancy dinners, pick up their bar tabs. And so they're all traveling in together. And so in some ways, it's kind of like a team bonding thing. Put it this way. You're going to see the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the general manager of the Chicago Bears all together. You're going to see.
If you're out of the top three, stay the fuck home.
Yeah, but I think that you say that, but hypothetically, let's say you're drafting number 11 or 12 and you've got plans on trying to move up. Well, guess what? I want to go watch this kid work out. I want to measure everything. I want to have my doctors, you know, do a physical. I'm contemplating the possibility of moving up.
I want Kevin O'Connell and my GM there so they could start scouting all his negatives and attack him.
That's true. That's true.
So I got to
make him cry. Let's see right now. It's like Kawhi Leonard 2.0. Like right now, I love Caleb. The moment he puts a Bears jersey on, I hate Caleb. So I'm going to enjoy it until April 25th. April 25th, I now hate Caleb Williams.
I'm going to be bitter about this for a long time. I'm just telling y'all right now.
Okay.
I think you're going to look back on these shows in like 2 years and be like, God, I was wrong. And I'm going to be so pissed.
I hope so, brother. I hope so. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm so wrong. I don't think I am.
Guess who the betting favorite is to take J.J. McCarthy in the draft this year?
No way, really?
Don't say your team.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say the Vikings.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's do this.
Damn, dude.
I know. All right, listen, I got to go. I got to go start getting my L.A. on. I got to go turn into L.A. Cap. All right, listen, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Unless this Caleb thing workout is happening, and then I'll come in from there. So we'll see everybody tomorrow. Have a great day. Support our sponsors. Visit our website. Be on the lookout for an email about the boat trip. Peace out.